Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Elizabeth Baptist Church. We pray you and your family are blessed by the service. If you have any questions or if we can minister to you in any way, reach out to us at elbchurch.org.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You've done for me. Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Oh. The Savior, He can move the mountains. My God. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shine your light. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. And Savior, He can move the mountains. My God. is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the
He paid for us on the cross. Father, I pray, God, that you'd speak to us through the Holy Spirit that dwells in Brother Tommy, God. I pray that the word would come alive because it is alive, God. Speak to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a glorious time of worship as we celebrate this Lord's Day, Palm Sunday, the week as we enter into the Passion Week, the last week of Christ's life on earth. What an exciting time for the church, for the people of God, as we remember, as we recall, as we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We understand that we celebrate the death and the burial just because we know that the resurrection is coming. And so we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 21, known as the triumphal entry. Jesus is making his way into Jerusalem, really making his way to the cross. He knows that the time is nigh, that it is time for him to come and lay down his life for our sin and to bring glory to himself and to the Father and to give us victory over sin, death, and the grave. Matthew chapter 21, we're going to work our way through verses 1 through 11. If you have your copy of God's Word, read along with me. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." In these first five verses, we see that Jesus, even in this last week, he continues to fulfill the prophecy of the Messiah from the Scripture. He continues to fulfill Scripture. Zechariah 9:9 is the words that is quoted here by Matthew, that it fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus gave instruction to his disciples. He gave instruction to bring a donkey for him to come in and ride into the city. And the reason he did this was it was declared by the prophet Zechariah that this is how the Messiah would enter into the city. Jesus had fulfilled all the prophecies up to this point concerning the Messiah. And Matthew made a great deal of notice of that, and he pointed it out throughout his gospel because he was writing mainly to the Jewish audience. And he really wanted to determine and to give evidence to them that Jesus was and Jesus is the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, Matthew showed that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. In Matthew 2:5, he fulfilled the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus fulfilled that there would be a killing of all the males two and under. This fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah 31, verse 15. In chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus shows the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Messiah coming, that there would be one that laid out a path. The ministry of John the Baptist was in and of itself a fulfillment of prophecy about the Messiah. In Matthew 8, 17, it fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 53, verse 4, that the Messiah would have a healing ministry. And Matthew points this out. And here in Matthew chapter 21, the way he comes into the city, humbly on the back of a colt, fulfills the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Jesus continues to fulfill Scripture. But second, I want you to see that Jesus is worthy to be worshipped and obeyed. Jesus is worthy to be worshipped and obey. Look at verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. In other passages on the same account, there were people that said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they said, "The Lord needs them." And just as Jesus had said, they allowed them to go. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road, and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," a messianic term. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna in the highest. Jesus is worthy to be worshipped and to be obeyed. He had given some fairly strange directions to his disciples, but you'll notice they didn't question Jesus. They did what Jesus told them to do. They didn't understand exactly why they were doing it. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 16, it says, the disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. They didn't understand exactly what Jesus was up to. They just knew that he was worthy to be obeyed and to be worshipped. The crowds worship him. He's worthy of worship. They shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They shout in praise and adoration to Jesus because he is worthy. And my friends, he is still worthy today of our praise. Paul writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, one of my favorite passages about how we will ultimately worship Jesus. It says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was the very form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, here's what's going to happen. One day, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and on under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father. Jesus saw a measure of worship on this day as his disciples obeyed him, as the crowds worshiped him, as they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, it means to save us. Pray, you save us. They were crying out for salvation. It was a phrase of praise, but it meant save us. That's our cry today. That's our cry for any man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever walked the earth. We need a Savior. And we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. As the crowd was worshiping Jesus, there was Pharisees and scribes in the crowd that were just really kind of offended by the fact that Jesus would allow them to worship him. But what Jesus is clearly stating, what Jesus is showing to everyone, yes, I am the Messiah. Yes, I am God in flesh. Yes, I am worthy of worship. If you and I were to do this, it would be one of the most prideful, haughty things for anyone to ever do. But he is God, and he is the Messiah, and he is worthy, and he is making that clear as he enters into this final stage of his life on earth. The Pharisees cry out, Luke 19, 39 and 40 says this, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples, because they would not admit that he is the Messiah, and they felt that he should not allow them to worship him this way. And I love Jesus' answer. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. The rocks would cry out and worship. If these men and women, the disciples that were following him as he entered into the city, if they had not cried out in praise and worship to the Messiah that was entering into this final stage of his earthly ministry, the very rocks that surrounded his path would have cried out praises to him. Let us not let the rocks steal our praise. But all of creation, it cries out in worship to God. You notice even the donkey. This was a never before ridden upon colt. It had never been ridden. Mark 11:2 tells us that a colt that was tied on which no one has ever sat, and yet this colt, I don't know if you've ever ridden an animal that's never been ridden before, but it was submissive to this Messiah that was on him. It submitted to the master, to the creator. Why don't we Matthew 8, 24 and 27 is another story where we see that the creation, all of creation, is submissive to Jesus himself, its creator. Matthew 8, 24, they had gotten on the boat and they were crossing over the sea, and Jesus had fallen asleep in the bow, and the Bible says, "Behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep." But his disciples are getting scared. And four of these guys were fishermen that had been on that sea most of their lives, and they were scared. You know, if I'm flying and there's a little turbulence, it really doesn't bother me. But when I see that the flight attendants are bothered, I get bothered. I begin to think, okay, this is not your normal situation. These fishermen were afraid. They were scared for themselves, and they went to awake Jesus. They went down and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. "Peace be still." And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him?" The donkey submitted to being ridden, even though he had never been set upon. The seas calm at the voice of Jesus. It proves to us that we can trust him. Even in this storm that we find ourselves, the waves seem to be crashing all around us. I'm reminded of a phrase that I had not thought about for many years. I think it at one time was in a song or a popular poem or something that I read, but it says this: "The waves that are over my head are under his feet. There is nothing that we have faced or will face that is beyond our God's control. I don't understand everything that we're walking through right now. I don't know the purpose. I don't know the ultimate end, but I do know that our God is in control and we can trust him. He is worthy of our worship and of our obedience." The creation, the colt, and the storm was submissive to him. Why would we not be as well? He's worthy of our worship and our obedience. He continues to fulfill the scripture about the Messiah. And finally, I want you to see, it really comes down, we must understand who Jesus truly is. Look at verse 9 in our text, chapter 21, verse 9. Verse 10. "And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up." Everybody was talking about what was going on, and most of them knew who Jesus was, but there was some in the crowd. He really didn't minister a lot right in the city. This was one of his main, it's the first time he really just came right up front and center in front of everybody, and some were asking the question, "Who is this?" That's an incredibly important question. That's the most important question of all humanity, of all history. Who is this man? Who is this? And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Now, we all know that he's much more than a prophet, but this was really, I believe, by some, a declaration. This is the promised Messiah. Who is this Jesus? Why did the Jews not see Jesus for who he is, the Messiah? Why did they not embrace that their Messiah had come? Many of them did, but most of them did not. Why did they not? I don't know for sure, but maybe it's because they didn't want to. Sometimes God really is speaking to us, but we just don't want to listen. We don't want to hear. We're too busy. We're too wrapped up in other things to hear the voice of God. And we know that he's spoken. We know he's real. We know that we should, but we just don't want to. And so we don't hear what he has for us. Maybe sometimes he's just got to get our attention to make us still enough, long enough to really hear his voice. Maybe they were caught up in the events and the miracles and the circumstances. They liked the show. They liked the enthusiasm. They liked the free meals when he fed the 5,000. They liked all of those things, but they didn't really want anything to do with the guy that said, "Hey, take up your cross and follow me." That didn't really seem very attractive to them. Maybe one reason was the religious leaders had robbed them of the truth of their own scripture. And they weren't able, they didn't know the word of God enough to recognize the very fulfillment of the prophecy of scripture was standing right in front of them. And their religious leaders had robbed them of that and replaced it with their man-made traditions and legalism. And when God was offering them this glorious, wonderful relationship with the Messiah, they were stuck in their rules and regulations and never found the grace of God. I've known some Baptist churches like that. May we not be. They missed it. They really didn't know who Jesus was right in front of them. The religious leaders had robbed them of this truth. Luke mentions this in chapter 11, verse 52. He says, "Woe to you lawyers, the religious leaders, the scribes, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." The knowledge was right there for them to recognize that their Messiah was in their very presence, had walked into the city, ridden into the city on a colt. Everything was being fulfilled, but their leaders had robbed them of that knowledge, and they did not enter into it themselves. And they hindered those who were trying to enter. Just think back just a little bit, right before this entry, on that Palm Sunday, that last week of the life of Jesus and his earthly ministry, we've seen the resurrection of Lazarus. Dude had been dead for 4 days. Beyond any recognition of life, the people at the graveside, at the place, at the cave said, "Jesus, he has probably begun to stink," if you're a King James person. And yet they saw this dead man come to life. No doubt that he was dead. And then Jesus spoke and he walked out of the tomb. And some of these religious leaders would still refuse to recognize that the Messiah was in their very presence. And instead of bowing their knee to worship this one that was with them right then in the flesh, they began to seek ways they could kill him and kill Lazarus so they could shut up this stuff. But they couldn't stop it. They were filled with the heart of Satan himself, and yet they were not able to stop what was about to happen. Who is Jesus? Here's my takeaways for the day. Who is Jesus? Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16, Jesus asked this question of his disciples, and he came in and says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" The Gospel of John gives us a description of who Jesus is, a very clear description of who Jesus is. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 through verse 5 and then verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was with God, the Father, but Jesus is God, the Son. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." He's Creator. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." He is the light of the world. Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Who is Jesus? He is God in flesh. Who is Jesus? He is the Messiah. Who is Jesus? He is the Savior of the world. Who is Jesus? The name of Jesus is the only name under heaven by which men must be saved. He fulfilled Scripture. He is worthy of worship and obedience. Who is Jesus? He is the one that we should give our everything to, because he is the Savior of the world. It's Palm Sunday. Jesus enters into the city. We have account from Scripture of some of the things he does on Monday and Tuesday. It's kind of silent about Wednesday. Thursday, he takes the Passover with his disciples, and he's arrested, and he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's arrested, and then a mockery of a trial that takes place through the night on Thursday night into Friday morning, and then around 9 a.m. on Friday morning, he's hung on a cross. About 6 hours later, he dies. He breathes his last. He cries out, "It is finished." And they place his body in a borrowed tomb. Now, next Sunday morning, it will be Resurrection Sunday, Easter, as we know it. It'll be the day we celebrate as the Church of Christ that our Savior is not dead, but he is alive. And I will tell you, this year is going to be different. In America and most places in the world, it's not going to be how we normally celebrate the resurrection. But can I just remind you of this? Just because we won't celebrate it exactly the same, just because not everybody will have their pictures taken in their new outfits at church, it does not lessen the reality that our Jesus is alive, and he is God, and he is in control. So as we walk through this week, as we walk towards the cross, as we think about the things that Jesus walked through and endured in those final days, as we see the cross standing on that hill called Golgotha, let's look to Sunday. Let's look to the victory. Let's look to the resurrection. And let's keep looking to the resurrection, not just this week, not just Sunday, but all the days of our lives. And as you look to Jesus, and as you look to the power of the resurrection, all of these other things that are going on, they begin to fade and to not seem near as daunting. Because here's the reality. Listen to me. Here's the reality. Even if I perish, I have victory in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of what might come after my death, because through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I have victory over sin, death, and the grave. And most of you do as well. And do not let go of that reality. Look upon the resurrection, because the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, if you're a child of God, if you've been saved, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave dwells in you and dwells in me. That hope, that comfort overcomes any of this. And you know the this I'm talking about, but even when there's going to be a new this, even when there's another struggle, even when there's another trial, look to the resurrection. When all of this is said and done and is behind us, let us not slip back into the rut of trusting in ourselves, but may we afresh and anew, day by day, trust more and more as we look to the resurrection in the victory we have in Christ Jesus. He died on that cross on that Friday. He was dead. He's buried in that borrowed tomb. The disciples and all that loved him, they grieved. They hid out in fear in the upper room. But Sunday's coming. Sunday is coming. For them on that Friday and that Saturday and through the night, early that Sunday morning, it was dismal. It seemed hopeless. But Sunday was coming. And here is our reality. Sunday has already come. And he is risen. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate it. We're going to celebrate it with all we've got. It's probably going to be watching a service on the television and whatever else we might do, hopefully with our families and sharing the story with one another, but we're going to celebrate it. But we need to remember that that power is still valid, even when our circumstances are not what we would want them to be. Even if we can't worship and do the things like we normally do on that Sunday, on that resurrection Sunday, it doesn't negate the reality that Jesus is risen. I pray that by the time Easter Sunday rolls around, if you have not yet trusted in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you will reach out to me or someone you know that loves Jesus and ask them, how can I be saved? So that by the time Resurrection Sunday comes, you will celebrate it different than you ever have. And as you walk through the rest of the days of your life, you will walk through them with a different confidence than you would have without Jesus. And for those of us that already have Jesus, may the world see His light shine in us, that it would overwhelm the darkness around us in these days. He came in on the back of a colt. He hung on a cross. He died on that cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose from the grave. He spent time with His disciples, and He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And one day, I believe very soon, He's coming again to take those that are His to be with Him for all eternity. I'm ready. I pray you're ready. But until that day, let us be busy loving God, loving people, seeking the lost, and making disciples. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you take this word, that you take this message, that you take this time as we are more focused on the events surrounding the resurrection, the crucifixion, and your burial, that you would take this season, Lord, that is going to be different than any we've experienced in our lifetimes, but remind us with certainty of the power of the resurrection. That Jesus fulfilled the scripture, but that Jesus is worthy of our worship and our obedience. And I pray that all of us would have a confidence that we have trusted in Him. And for those that have not, for those that need to be made right with God, I pray with all of my heart and my strength that you would draw them to yourself, and that you would grant us opportunity to share that glorious good news with them, that they might know the confidence we have in our Savior, who was crucified, buried, and resurrected, and lives and grants us victory over sin, death, and the grave. Speak to hearts, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride, see from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Dear,
Thank you for joining us for our weekly service at East Cecil Baptist Church. Again, if you have any questions about the message or a personal relationship with Jesus, feel free to reach out to us at elbchurch.org.